Are you ready to bow down before your Maker? Not your cup of tea? Well, get ready, because Pastor Al Pittman reminds us today that everyone will one day bow before the Lord.
Here's the deal. You may reject Him now. You may sit here with attitude, with your arms folded and scoff and all of that, but you will bow. Every knee will bow. It's wise to bow now, because you're going to have to bow later. Amen. I'm not going to bow. Oh, yes, you will. Every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
In chapter 20 of Revelation, we read about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. What exactly is it? And why is it a significant study for every believer? We hope to clear up those questions on today's edition of The Dwelling Place, the daily time of study in God's Word, with Pastor Al Pittman of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. There are quite a few differing opinions surrounding the millennium, but there's no need to divide over it, because we can all agree on the bottom line, that Jesus Christ is indeed coming back to establish His kingdom once and for all. And that's good news for every believer. Join us now in Revelation chapter 20 as we turn things over to Pastor Al, who continues our series in the last book of the Bible.
Jesus taught us to pray, "Father, let thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And here we find that the kingdom of God is in the earth, but it will be ruling the earth for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. And we see that here. We'll see that here in our text. There are actually four events taking place here in Revelation chapter 20. The first one is that we will see where the devil is bound. He's bound and cast into prison. And then the second event is that saints, that's you and I, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, will be ruling and reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years. Amen? And then thirdly, we will see a satanic rebellion. And lastly, we will see the sentencing of the condemned. So we begin here with Satan being bound. In verse 1, John writes, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottom of this pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." So the devil here, first and foremost, we see is bound for 1,000 years. And notice it only takes one angel to bind the devil. Or apprehend him, which is a testament to the fact that the devil really was never in charge. God allowed him to exist for his own purpose and glory. And what is that purpose and what is that glory? Well, the purpose is for the salvation of souls and for the glorification of his Son. He's thrown into the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, that phrase is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation. It is also called the abyss. We've talked about it before if you've been here for the study in Revelation. The abyss, also known as the abode of demons. This is where he is incarcerated for 1,000 years. Well, what will a Satanless world look like? You know, the Bible gives us a little glimpse. It's found in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 65. And I want to read that. I think it's worth going back and reading Isaiah chapter 11. There's a portion of it I want to read to you to give you an idea of what the world will be like in a Satanless, what the situation would be like on the earth without the devil being in it. Isaiah chapter 11, skip ahead to verse 6. And he's describing again the millennial reign of Christ, the conditions that will exist during the millennial reign of Christ. He says that the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Son, going on out there and play in the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. That's in particular speaking of Jerusalem, but it's all over the earth. Because listen to what he says. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Again, we're going to cheat. We're not going to start at verse 17. We'll start at verse 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall dwell in houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall build. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people. Shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. They shall be the descendants of the blessed God and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. And then he says here in verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And holy mountain being Jerusalem. So what period of time are they talking about when the lion and the lamb are laying down together and all of that? It's during the millennial reign of Christ. So what's happening during the millennial reign of Christ? What would the world be like? Well, the enmity between humans and animal life will disappear. God didn't create animals to eat humans. Go back to Genesis. Amen? And there will be longevity of life will be common at that time. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a little bit here. But there will also be peace on the earth. Why? Because the world, earth will have been restored. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. That's what the world would look like with a Satanless world. Amen. There will finally be peace. Amen. In the Middle East. But here the Bible says, verses 1 to 3, that at the end of the millennium, Satan will be released. Now, why would God release the devil after 1,000 years? And besides, won't everybody believe in Jesus Christ after being under his reign for 1,000 years and all of that? Well, the short answer is no. It's evidenced by the rebellion that we find in verse 7 to 10 that we will get to in just a moment. And so God releases the devil. Well, why does the Lord release the devil? Well, the Lord releases the devil. For one thing, he didn't incarcerate him to rehabilitate him. Amen. But he incarcerated him to demonstrate his mercy toward mankind for yet another 1,000 years. And he releases him to finally rid his kingdom of all who would seek to do the devil's bidding. Now we come to the saints reigning in verses 4 to 6. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus. And when were they beheaded? Well, it says, and they were beheaded for for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. These were beheaded then during the tribulation period. And had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their heads, their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Amen. Saints are reigning here. The thrones that John mentions in verse 4 are thrones we will sit on as we rule and reign with Christ. Judgment will be committed to us. Amen. Yes, us. The saints of God those who believe, will be given governing authority by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ throughout the world. Those who have been martyred during the tribulation, the Bible says here, will also rule and reign with the Lord. In verse 5, he uses that phrase there, that phrase of "but the rest," and the question comes up, well, who are the rest? The rest are those, our humanity, the rest of humanity is what it's speaking about here, awaiting the final judgment, which we will find in verses 11 to 15. And note, those who partake of the first resurrection, he says, are called what? Blessed and holy. For them, John says, the second death has no power. What is the second death? Well, it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 11, 15. We'll get there in just a little while here. But here's the idea. Everybody's going to be resurrected, the righteous and the wicked. We're all going to face a resurrection. The question is it a resurrection to everlasting life or everlasting damnation?
We'll pause here for a moment, and Pastor Al will be right back with the second half of today's message in Revelation 20. This is The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. If you missed any part of the first half of today's message, or you have to leave before the program is over, you can go online and hear it at your convenience at cwccs.org. And The Dwelling Place is also on OnePlace, which is available through the OnePlace app for your iPhone or Android, and on the web at oneplace.com. Pastor Al's podcast, called Uncuffed, is also available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other platforms. If you'd like to partner with us financially, please give us a call at 844-221-3363. Or again, visit our website at cwccs.org. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and want to know more about our church, our service times, and upcoming events, again, turn to cwccs.org. Now let's join Pastor Al once again for the second half of today's message in Revelation 20.
You got a resurrection coming, but the type of resurrection it is depends on you. The choices that you make now, your relationship with Jesus Christ. So, well, I don't know about that. Well, that's what Jesus said. John chapter 5 says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted to the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man." He is our Savior. "Do not marvel," Jesus said. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." All, not some, all. Resurrection is not unique to Christians. All will come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The resurrection of life is that first resurrection where people are called blessed and holy. That's the resurrection of the believer, of those who are in Christ. The resurrection of condemnation represents those who have walked in wickedness and who have rejected Jesus Christ, and they are of the second death mentioned in verse 6. But regardless, everyone will be resurrected. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible clearly tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of every and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hey, here's the deal. You may reject him now. You may sit here with attitude, with your arms folded and scoff and all of that, but you will bow. Every knee will bow. And it's wise to bow now because you're going to have to bow later. Yes, amen. "I'm not going to bow." Oh, yes, you will. Every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so the Bible tells us here that those who reign with the Lord, those who are of the first resurrection, that is the redeemed of the Lord, who are called blessed and holy, those who are now judged by the world will judge the world. Amen. That's you and I. Amen. That is believers. And in light of that fact that we are called to judge the world, Paul rebukes the church in Corinth, and he says this, because they were dragging each other into court and slandering each other and all that. And Paul says this in a form of rebuke to the church in Corinth. He says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints?" Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? What is he saying? You know, there's wisdom. We should be operating in the wisdom of God now. In other words, seeing that we will judge the world and even fallen angels, let us now judge matters socially, personally, politically, in accordance with God's truth as his priests. Amen. So, oh, Pastor, I'm not a priest. You must, I have a collar kind of type, but I'm not a priest. I'm not talking about, you know, some that priest. I'm talking about the priesthood of Christ. The Bible says we are all, as believers, a part of a royal priesthood. Therefore, we should act like it. That's what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth. Why are you dragging each other in the court? Do you not have wisdom to judge according to the word of God, God's truth? But what we've done in the church is that we have set aside the word of God, the wisdom of God, and we start judging one another according to the standard and the wisdom of this world. And that is sinful. You who are going to judge the world and judge angels, should we not be able to judge the smallest of matters socially, personally, politically, by referring to the word of God as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? Too often the case is that Christians make decisions on their own. They don't seek godly counsel or wisdom. They don't come in and say, we're having trouble in our marriage and I'm tempted to divorce my spouse, but you know, Pastor, what does the word of God say? They make up their own minds, you know. They have a Burger King mentality and wisdom that walk around. You deserve a break today. No, that's McDonald's, amen, or whatever. They have a fast food mentality, a fast food theology. And they wonder why things don't work out and why their life is so hard. Could it be we who will judge the world are judging our lives and everything else and all our decisions according to the world when we ought to be priests of God, judging according to his truth? Because that's the way we're going to judge the world, amen? Believers are ruling and reigning with Jesus. The third event that we find here is a satanic rebellion. John packs a lot here to chapter 20. Verses 7 to 10. When the thousand years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth. That's all over the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number, listen, is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, that is Jerusalem, surrounding the headquarters of the Lord. Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beasts and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. A satanic rebellion. Satan's satanic has a case of satanic recidivism. He relapses after he's released into his old ways. Again, the Lord didn't send him there to rehabilitate him, but to extend mercy to us, to mankind for 1,000 years. But what blows my mind here is that under 1,000 years under the rule of Jesus Christ, the people on earth will still sin against the Lord during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. You know, you'd hold vipers in your hand and, you know, go up to lions and you'd rub their mane and, you know, do all these different things. Despite the goodness of God on the earth, people still sin against the Lord. But I guess we could say nothing much has changed. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20 says, for the child, remember we read, the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. In other words, people during this time, the Lord is so good that people will live a lot longer during the millennial reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, premature death and death by moderate means or a moderate age, like dying in your 80s or your 90s, shall be almost unknown. Almost unknown. I say almost because death will still be with us. But Isaiah tells in Isaiah 65, verse 20, it's about a child shall die 100 years old. What does it mean that? Mean by saying that, basically, that if a person dies being 100 years old, they're going to be considered a child. You've been living 100 years. Oh, you're just still wet behind the ears. You know what you're doing. Wait, come see me when you're 400. Okay? You really don't have any experience in life. No, that's what it means, that a child, it'll be a person dying, you know, at 100 would be considered dying as a child. But a sinner, and of course, death will still be on the earth during the millennial reign of Christ, because death is not thrown into hell until verse 13. We'll get there. Amen? So during the millennial reign of Christ, the Lord may have to resort to death as a last resort to judge some of the sinners, some of the people who are rebelling against his reign. Are you with me? He mentions here Gog and Magog there in verse 8. Now, what does this have to do with? This is where people get a little confused. They think, oh, this is Ezekiel 38 and 39. No, it's not. Because this battle happens at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens in the last days leading up to the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Two different battles. So why does he mention Gog and Magog? He mentions Gog and Magog basically as an example here, to say the devil's going to deceive the nations like Gog deceived Magog. Amen? The devil's going to come and deceive the nations once again. And as Magog followed their leader, Gog, so the nations will follow the deception of the devil, leading to his demise. So that's the reason why he's mentioning Gog and Magog here. They surround Jerusalem. They're going to attack, they're going to take Jesus down. And what happens? Well, there's no long, stretched out, campaign or anything. The Bible says simply, God rains down fire from heaven and destroys them. Short order, amen? And he destroys the enemies that come against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And the devil is dispatched, disposed of, forever, thrown into hell along with the Antichrist and the false prophet. So that's the end of that satanic rebellion.
You've been listening to The Dwelling Place with our Bible teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, the pastor of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. As we close things out today, we want to remind you that you can hear today's message at our website, cwccs.org. We can also supply you with a CD copy when you call 844-221-3363. That's 844-221-3363. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the Skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the Enable button. I also want to remind you to not miss a single episode of Pastor Al's podcast called Uncuffed, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other platforms. At The Dwelling Place, we pray that your walk with Jesus Christ has been strengthened by these messages, and we're grateful to those who choose to partner with us to see this ministry continue and even expand. To make a secure donation, drop by cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. That's GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also write to us at Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, visit us at Calvary Worship Center. We'd love to welcome you this weekend. Join us at our Westside Campus or our Creekside Campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website. And we hope to see you soon. This has been The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, a presentation of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.